don't worry about me. At that time, one of those Iraqis came out. He was about 55, 60 years old, had the Book of Quran. He offered me some water. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this guy offering me water for? I didn't take it because I didn't know if it was tainted or not. And he offered me a cigarette. And I smoked at the time. I said, all right, I'll smoke this cigarette with you. And at that moment, I could no longer dehumanize the enemy.
Veterans Voices, The First Gulf War is produced by AMPRS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, and is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
The party starts when the sun sets. KFAI celebrates the release of Tufa One's latest album, When the Sun Sets.
Friday, May 30th at the Red Sea. When the Sun Sets catches the Dakota Boricua singer, songwriter, producer, and artistic teacher at his finest.
Combining hip-hop with R&B, dancehall, and other genres, Tufa One debuts an album that will entertain and delight.
Rounding out the release party are Fanaka Nation, Proper T, Thalia Knight, Emmanuel Carter, and Gon Kama. Doors open at 9 p.m. The Red Sea is located at 320 Cedar Avenue South in Minneapolis.
From the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida, welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Larry Kay from the Ho-Chunk Nation, along with Gary Wilcox from the Powhatan Nation. Today, we're joined by Christopher Mike Bitta, better known as Def I, an award-winning Diné hip-hop artist, educator, and community leader. As a powerhouse in the Indigenous hip-hop scene, he's not only making waves with his music, but also uplifting the next generation of MCs. He's here to talk about the Gathering of the MCs, a movement that's bringing Indigenous and underground hip-hop to the forefront. It's a two-day celebration, April 24th and 25th, hosted at the Launch Pad in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, and joining me is Gary Wilcox. How you doing today, Gary?
Doing great. How you doing?
Doing well over here in Bradenton, Florida.
Let's get started and welcome our guest, Christopher Mike Bitta, also known as Def I. Welcome to the show, Def I.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yes, happy to have you back on, Chris. Been a while. Good to see
you. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. I always enjoy it, and also listening to and tuning in to the others as well. So great work.
Right on. Well, let's get the show started. Why don't we start with an introduction and tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself, and then we'll tell them how Def I got his spark. So go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So my name is Def I. I represent the Diné Nation, or federally recognized as the Navajo Nation. I'm a full-time live performer, music producer, artist educator, presenter, a poet, touring artist, and also a hip-hop cultural ambassador. So nice. I've been working as a MC full-time for a long time, too, as well. And my work serves communities, promoting self-expression in the arts of poetry, songwriting, and modern-day storytelling through rap, even. And so...
Right.
I also partner with schools, venues, different organizations, arts networks, collectives, and tribes across Turtle Island, sometimes abroad, just to deliver live interactive performances and sometimes workshops for other artists, up-and-coming artists.
Nice, nice.
Awesome. Chris, you're making history. Tell us about the Gathering of the MCs. How did it start, and what inspired you to create this event?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you for asking about the Gathering of MCs. Mm-hmm. So I got inspired as a younger artist, maybe when I was a teenager, before I was able to kind of enter the bar scene. We were myself and Wake Self, I would say Wake Self and I, we were just the younger artists, kind of like the ones who were really hungry to want to perform. And sometimes we wouldn't get invited to stages, but, you know, we'd still wait outside
until
after the events were over and start, you know, interacting and networking with a lot of the people who were already adults and, you know, kind of organizing events. And so I think they, after a while, they started to notice us. And there's this one gentleman He's a DJ and MC. He's a father and community member in Albuquerque. He was probably the bridge between the venues and us to get a chance to throw an event ourselves. And his name is Speed One. So he's from Albuquerque, New Mexico. So he's a local artist out there too, as well as a MC. Like I said, he's a great DJ, but he was a promoter bringing out a lot of these amazing artists we really looked up to and listened to back in our high school era. Mm-hmm. And to this day, a lot of these MCs and artists are still touring and doing their thing, thankfully. So with Speed's help, he kind of gave us the opportunity and the chance to kind of like throw an event, gave us an opportunity to start being welcomed around the hip hop community, if you will, in Albuquerque, which was already going on. But we were just, you know, res kids kind of coming back to the city to want to like reclaim some the legacy. And I mean, not reclaim, but I would say just like carry on the legacy of like this MC and art form through hip hop and rap. Right. So I guess in 2010 is when we sparked it off. And that's when I founded this intertribal rap competition and music showcase that we call the Gathering of MCs. And basically we just created it to help serve our local community and also a national and international community, because, you know, the powwow happens around that same time. So that brings in a whole plethora of artists, full spectrum, from true school, old school, new school, whatever have you. You know, there's a lot of different artists that come out, and most of them, you know, there's not enough time to have everybody on some of these stages that are happening during within the grounds and whatever. So it was kind of created just to kind of allow others to get a chance too, as well as ourselves, because we wanted to have a chance to kind of tell our own story and express ourselves through the arts of rap and MCing. So, you know, it unfolds here in the Southwest in the unceded territory of the Tiwa people. So Albuquerque, a lot of people know, surrounded by, I think, 19 or more pueblos. So it's a really dope place. And if you've been there during this special time of the year, it's really packed with a lot of positive energy. Mm-hmm. And so people really have a good time. It has grown over the years ever since 2010. So this year is the 13th annual. We would have had, you know, 15, but you know, we had to go through those years where we couldn't put on events just to keep everyone safe, right, or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned it's evolved. Have you noticed a shift in themes, audience, or participation?
Yeah, I would say the audience has grown over the years, the diversity as well, especially, you know, I'd say within the last 10 years, it's really, really grown. We've had, you know, almost every favorite indigenous MC you could imagine hit the stage before in some way or another, whether he, she, or they were rapping on stage as a performer or showcasing their 16 bars to win the competition, or else, you know, even battling in the tournaments. And so I think it's really cool to see like artists from just some of the greatest to the up and coming, to just really seeing some of the most humblest beginnings from some of these MCs and artists, to watch them grow over the years has been an amazing experience to kind of witness. But also, you know, just to even see world rap champions even come out to the stage,
and
it's been really cool to just experience all that. So we're blessed to be a part of hip hop too, so that's what I gotta say too. So
sweet.
So how do you go about selecting your performers and your artists and gathering for the MCs, and in doing so, what sort of focus do you have do you have like themes, or is there a particular message each year? What exactly is involved in that process?
You know, as I tour a lot, maybe more like 180 days or so out of each year, I come across a wide variety of indigenous artists and MCs across Turtle Island. So sometimes I'm handpicking those that stand out to me when I'm performing on the same lineups as them. Nice. And I'm like really impressed. So I'll get their information and keep in touch. And so that's how a lot of artists sometimes are selected, just from being on the lookout, because we're actually out there on the grounds a lot of the times, maybe half the year, meeting other artists. And I think in like there's nothing like witnessing an MC or artist in the live, like same room sort of, in the energy that is there. It's, you sometimes can't really get that through a record, just only hearing it sonically. So I think like when I'm really inspired by another artist, or he, she, or they stands out in some amazing way, like it could be a verse, it could be a song or a burp by some of their bars. I think I'm always on the lookout and my ears always open, and I'm definitely not the only one selecting too. Sometimes people, they reach out to me or send me just a message. So if anyone out there wants to be a part of this too in the future, just send me a message somehow and send over your, you know, your EPK or just whatever you feel like you have going on. That's good. And I think we're all here to help each other out too. Right. So the process is pretty open. It's not really as formal, but I've had to send invitations out to people to kind of, you know, help mm-hmm. them get their sponsorships and things like that, because it is an expensive trip to get to Albuquerque for some. So, but yeah, like traveling the world and being able to meet a lot of these MCs in person is probably like some of the best ways I was able to kind of build connections and these bridges from other nations. And so the theme is mostly intertribal. Okay. When I think about the gathering of MCs, I've always like loved the inclusive vibes that you get from like being at an intertribal powwow, and the same thing when I'm at like a b-boy or b-girl jam and just seeing the dancers there and the energy, it's just kind of similar. So I was like, this vibe of the gathering of MCs, I love it for it to be for everyone, not just a specific type of genre of rap or hip-hop. But mm-hmm. Oh, there's all kinds of different artists that do come out. We're trying to keep it open as possible.
Sure, sure. Now, what role does this event play in uplifting indigenous hip-hop artists and the broader hip-hop community?
I think it really plays a big role, especially for some artists who aren't touring like all as much. Yeah. So like if they're on stage in front of a large audience and in Albuquerque during this time, I think it really leaves a special... I'd say memory, but mm-hmm. I think it's kind of, it's also like just a special experience for a lot of the artists who travel abroad, especially even those who are from other hip hop communities out of state, who are maybe from smaller hip hop communities, even from New York or Los Angeles, or even from larger communities than ours. I mm-hmm. think like they still come out and really they've given some positive feedback on how the gathering of MCs and the hip hop community and the indigenous native hip hop community is very supportive. And I think people really know that already too, especially those who tour a lot through Albuquerque, they in the Southwest, like there's a huge support system here. We're thankful to be like able to kind of continue this gathering of MCs this year too.
Right on. Hey, I noticed every year too, you put out an album. Is this all the winners get to be on the album featured?
Yeah. You know what kind of makes this event kind of unique too, as well as the inclusivity of it, is it's also accompanied by a soundtrack basically. So there's this collective series I've been curating for the last maybe 7 to 10 years. And I've just been putting together these cypher tracks where, you know, I've featured a lot of the MCs who've hit the Gathering of MCs stage on a song.
Yeah.
And just wonder how would it sound like if we were all on a song together.
I
miss that like cypher posse cut energy, you know, mm-hmm. from the 90s and 2000s. I know, you know, everyone's out to go get theirs, but I still like love to the collective energy of like a lot of us on a song. And, you know, so there's like maybe 9 to 10 songs, maybe 11 now, of those that are out there released. So if anyone wants to check them out, you just type in Gathering of MCs, and there's different songs there featuring maybe 80 to 100 MCs now. But the goal is to at least reach over 100 MCs worldwide.
Right on. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
How many albums have you put out with the Gathering of the MCs?
I think there's about 9 to 10 different singles out now.
Okay.
And these singles, they usually, I'm kind of got inspired by a lot of the pioneers and the legends in hip hop, and how they would put like on their last song of their album, they'd put like their posse cut or their song featuring all their friends and their collective or their peers or whoever they're rocking with at the time, maybe their label mates.
Sure.
So a lot of these albums that I put out, if you may notice at the very end, the last song is usually a Gathering of MCs song, which is, you know, 9 to 10 more MCs together back to back. The latest one out now is Gathering of MCs Warriors.
Sweet, sweet. I like it. I've been playing it too.
Can you explain to our audience how it's important to have the space like this for the Gathering of MCs for the indigenous MCs and hip hop community?
Yeah, I think it's important not only for the MCs, but also for just the local Native community. It's created to serve as a platform to help sustain the thriving community that's already been there. So a lot of Native-owned businesses are able to vend as well and sell their merchandise. Artists as well can sell their merchandise. I think it's really special, too, for us to actually gather and interface with one another face-to-face, especially these days, because, you know, we're mostly in this internet digital era. I still really highly value, like, being able to be in the same room as a lot of the Indigenous artists of today and the future ones of tomorrow, even those the ones that have been representing in the past decades as well. So we all usually gather there once a year, and I think this helps uplift the energy, our hopes towards potential success, and also it gears us towards that too by being able to unite together, collaborate more. And I think this kind of helps us increase our chances to being able to succeed in this realm mm-hmm. of hip hop, especially in rap. I mean, it's a interesting market, but it's really kind of more for the love of the art and for the love of the craft. And I think those who really gather there, audience members too as well, are included. It's not just only for the artist. I think a lot of the artists are also uplifted because they can also get a chance to meet their artists that they listen to on a regular basis. And a lot of these artists aren't really in the area otherwise, unless this event happens during a special time of the year.
Sure, sure.
Wow.
How does Indigenous culture influence the music, freestyles, and the battles at the event?
I think it really influences it, especially like when you hear certain accents come out within certain artists or MCs, you're like, oh, yeah. I could tell, like, you know, he's from the Western Dene Agency. I could hear that accent right there, maybe. But,
cool.
You know, I've even heard one moment that stands out in particular in my mind is like when Superman, he actually battled once and actually a few times, but he entered under a different name and he wore a costume. And his, like, this whole kind of, like, well, I wouldn't say the whole, he had many different styles to it, but the way he was winning was including a lot of, like, Native funny res jokes with the accent included. And I think sometimes you don't always have to be the most aggressive on the mic to win or the most, you know, lyrical. You could just make the crowd laugh so much that, you know, they're going to vote for you and the judges are going to see that. And it's kind of hard not to lose. So I think, the Native culture really influences it too, because I think he, she, or they, their identities are being like represented while they're on the mic too. Usually every MC has like a verse in their minds mm-hmm. where they talk about who they are, their identity, what tribe they're from, and what other entities they're a part of. And so I think it's really cool to hear the different representations, especially, you know, reading about where they're from, their bios. And I'm like, wow, there's so many different nations here gathered together, not only for the powwows, but these other events, but for the gathering of MCs too. It's an incredible time. And I think my homies and friends from New York, they really love coming out every year, especially those from LA too, because I think they're really surprised and impressed to see like so many Natives gathered together and it's all love. So I think it's a great time.
Right on.
What sort of impact have you seen that gathering of the MCs has had on our up-and-coming Indigenous and hip-hop artists? What have you seen happen?
You know, I've seen some really cool things happen with their careers, but I think it's more than a career for some. I think it's just their lifestyle, the way we live as artists and MCs or poets. And I've seen some artists get more bookings, become discovered more at the gathering of MCs. Certain times we'd have A&Rs from different big labels come out just seeking talent and really interested nice. In hearing more of the Native artists, the up and coming MCs. So it's kind of exciting knowing that, you know, you never know who's watching right. sometimes when you're performing at these events. And if you do good, I always say, like, you know, just do as best you can every time you can, younger artists, when you're performing, because you never know who's watching. Someone might really enjoy your set and potentially book you for your next performance. And that could be in a whole different community. It could be in a whole different state. Maybe it could be in a whole different country.
Sure, sure. Back from the gravel.
arrows, spit fly arrows, win battles with night vandals. No light.
Today, we're speaking with DeFi. We're learning all about the Gathering of the MCs. It's a two-day celebration, April 24th and 25th, taking place at the Launchpad in Albuquerque, New Mexico. A celebration of hip-hop, culture, and community.
Pterodactyls, we swoop down, no saddles, just rhyme barrels. Age with time and lines of heralds, designed to shine, we incline like the narrows. Stack like racks, these bars is hard to dismantle. We elevate soundscapes and penetrate minds that alleviate angst. Give thanks to sacred rhymes.
And now back to the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. Has anybody ever come up and said, Chris, I'm nervous, I can't do it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That happens like once a year. And I'm sure. Like, we have to fill in a, place. I'm sure it's like for dancers too, you know, sometimes you get nervous. So you're like, maybe next year I'll come back. And then, so, but I mean, I'm always like, hey, yeah, I believe in second chances, but you kind of got to be there to co-create and be in the moment, be in the flow. Yeah. And that'll help out, I think. And then in any art.
Right. Absolutely. Can you walk us through what attendees can expect when coming to the Gathering of the MCs?
Yeah, I think when you walk into the Gathering of MCs, you show up there. If you show up early enough, anybody can sign in and you can actually check out the merchandise tables without it being so crowded. As time goes on, the showcases begin pretty early on time.
Okay.
Because there's about maybe 15 to 20 artists or groups or bands that are all going to hit the stage, not including the performers. So I would say there's at least over 40 to 50 MCs or artists in the building alone. Right. And the launch pad holds about 300 and 350 or something like that people. So it gets pretty crowded because, you know, some of these artists can bring in pretty big followings. So it's been sold out a few years in a row.
Oh, cool.
But there's a lot happening during the same time. But it's really a great experience to be a part of if you love hip hop, if you love rap, if you love the energy of like cultural exchange or hearing a lot of different artists that are from other areas to a northern, to from the northern relatives to the southern relatives, east and west coast, down south and Midwest and everywhere in between. There's pretty much like MCs from all walks of life that gather around there. But yeah, a huge presence of Native and Indigenous artists as well, but also attendees. Now you also can actually get their VIP tickets, which gives a meet and greet to some of the headliners. This year's Vel 9, aka Vel the Wonder, and Bobby Sanchez, plus a few other performers as well that have been there throughout the Gathering of MCs years. So really excited about this one though. So I think it's going to be more MCs this year than ever before.
What dates?
Are there any standout moments or performances in the past that have really left an impression on you?
Yeah, you know, there has been. It's like so many to remember. I think of Illmaculate being one of them. I mean, he's part Native too. I forget the actual name that they go by in the Northwest, but he's an incredible MC. Baby Shell from Red Lake Nation. Every time he comes out, it's always an incredible experience to see him perform live. Art Sun is one of my favorite performers, but when he does beatbox with the flute, and you know, he's a b-boy too, so he represents Style Elements Crew. I think like getting a dope representation of Indigenous true school hip-hop, like from that level, I think is always a blessing to witness. I think also my homie Mozzie from Soul Purpose Crew out there, he's an amazing MC, and he comes out representing from where he's from in the East Coast, EO Dub, and also Def Jam. And there's a lot of other artists too that I think Vel 9, that's why she's coming back. All Flows Reach Out headlined last year, and man, he's incredible. He's from the West Coast too, so he goes by Afro or All Flows Reach Out. There's been some pretty fun times, man, like even just artists surprising us and proposing to their wives at the Gathering of MCs, and you're just like, hey, you didn't expect that, but like it was just that definitely stands out because you know, so just a lot of good times have happened and a lot of good connections made through the Gathering of MCs too. So those are probably some of my favorite memories on top of what I just mentioned.
Right on. How can we support Gathering of the MCs and get involved, whether as artists, fans, or sponsors?
Yeah, that's a great question. So some of the artists, if they want to be a part of the Gathering of MCs, some of them agree to, you know, buy tickets so they can give them or sell them to their fans. And that's like a good win because it increases their attendance and it promotes them more. So as fans, I would say also just, you know, trying to get the tickets. You can, this definitely supports the event, helps it continue. Sponsorship, there's packages available for anyone who would like to sponsorship. Or if, I mean, there are sponsorship packages available if anyone would like to sponsor the event in some way or another. So shout out to the Indian Collective. They've been a sponsor for a few years and they're sponsoring this year. They've helped us continue this event and it really helps with not only the prize money, but also the performance fees for some of the headliners, travel and lodging for a lot of the performers. And it's just so much more to, and just the continuance of the event, I guess, as well as marketing and things like that. You guys know how it goes.
So how has hip hop and this event help bridge generational and cultural gaps within the indigenous communities? What have you seen?
I've seen a lot of more acknowledgement from the elders, like personally, I think over the years through hip hop. At first it was, you know, pretty difficult sometimes to present or perform sometimes in front of an older crowd where they don't necessarily understand or overstand hip hop the same way we do. It's a different lifestyle, but sometimes it can be misconstrued and people say that rap and hip hop can lead you to drugs, alcohol, violence, and a lot of bad things. But there's this whole cultural aspect to hip hop that I think that starts with the four main elements to it. You know, starts with the DJ, and I think the DJ can be thought of as the drummer, the MC is like the modern day storyteller, the style writer is like the modern day sand painter, or just, you know, there's the B-boy, B-girl is a dancer. There's also a lot of other elders in hip hop, like I think his name's Ernie Panicucci. I don't know how to say his last name, but he's a photographer who also has this same ideology and like respect for hip hop and also our traditional indigenous ways, I would say our cultural heritages that, you know, we come from wherever tribe or nation we're from. And a lot of these similarities and parallels exist between hip hop and our traditional side. So this number four for me, like, really means a lot. When I was growing up, I was like I said in the beginning of this interview, like being at a powwow, an event was sort of like being at a B-boy, B-girl jam or a battle. But the DJs actually get paid in the powwows, you know what I mean? The drummers can get prizes. I've always like kind of teased people and be like, imagine if the DJs in hip hop would have like a contest too, or it's like how they'd have drum contest. Maybe that, I know that takes some big bucks there to throw big ones. But you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of funding to make these events happen in comparison to a powwow, I'll say that. So it can happen. So I think this interview has been really good and insightful, and I hope inspiring to others too.
Good. Chris, when does Gathering of the MCs take place this year and where?
This year, the Gathering of MCs is taking place at Launchpad, and it's located in the downtown Albuquerque area, New Mexico. And it's happening on Thursday, April 24th and April 25th on the Friday. It's a 2-night event happening.
It's coming up.
Chris, it was a pleasure having you here with us today. I want to thank you. I've learned a lot, you know, and I just want to thank you for your time today. Thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Right on. Mr. Defi, indeed. It's been a pleasure to have you on today. I'm going to get you back on as soon as possible, and right after the show, we'll get you back on. I want to find out who won.
All right. Same way. Thank you, bro.
Stay in touch.
Maybe I'll try to get some audio from the night, you know, and we could play back.
There we go. I'll play it on the show on Indigenous in Music. Take care. All right, Chris, stay well.
All right, man. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. Come visit us at indigenousinthenews.org to hear all of our past shows and learn all about the great programs that we provide.